Welcome into Jags of the Roundtable for the Jaguars. Welcome the New York Giants tomorrow at Everbank Field. Let's get to it. Expectations for this offense the rest of the year. What's the balance? Play calling, youth, and what's fair to expect from the offense down the stretch?
Well, I think it's fair to expect some improvement. I've said all week, I don't think you're going to see a huge improvement where all of a sudden this team starts looking like the 99 Rams. I mean, it's a young team. I know people are questioning the play calling, but I think most of the issues so far is youth and all these guys trying to get on the same page. Blitz pickup, all the things we've seen are things that could be attributed to trying to figure this thing out.
Yeah, I spent the week answering questions about play calling, and that's where the expectations come from, right? Because people expect this offense to be so much better. What are they thinking? Look at all the rookies that are out there.
Right.
If you had Peyton Manning, a quarterback, or Tom Brady, you could overcome a couple of rookies out there because they're that good. They give you a margin
and
for error.
Experience.
Exactly.
Peyton Manning and Tom Brady.
No, exactly. Right. Because the margin for error is this wide. Mm-hmm. But when you've got a rookie quarterback out there, it's about this wide. And we're seeing exactly what I expect when I see all those rookies. Now, do I expect them to convert on third down and score more than 3 points? Yeah, I expect them to get better. But overall, I thought when we saw this rookie surge into the lineup that we'd see an offense that puts a lot of pressure on the defense.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. and that's going to continue until these guys build that bank of experience that you've heard Gus talk about so much that they can go back to in games into the future.
Speaking of quarterback, Blake Bortles, 5 games to go in his rookie year. What can he improve this week, and what's left for him the rest of the way?
Well, I think that there's a chance you could see a little more up-tempo like they're talking about, maybe get him a little more into his comfort zone. And at that point, you may see some improvement in that area. But again, I don't think you're going to see a monumental jump. I think the monumental jump is going to take him getting into the offseason, looking at these hopefully 13 games by the end of the season that he's played, and having what Gus has talked about, the body of work to look at, the body of film, figuring out where he is, what they do well, what they want to do with him.
John's the quarterback guy, but I'll say this. Accuracy would be something you could see this week. You know, he missed that throw to Mercedes. Mm-hmm. How different is the game if Mercedes scores on that play or even drives it deep into their territory? And there were a couple passes in London and a couple last week in Indianapolis where they were off the mark, and I went, wow, right? So I'd like to see him get more accurate because I think that would produce more success in given situations.
It could be tough to see a huge jump in that until the offseason when he gets a chance to really get the fundamentals back to where they were coming into his start in week 3.
They're still about 63% for the year as it is. Let's go to defense now. 5 sacks, 6 forced fumbles, 3 recovered last week. What more can the defense do, if anything?
Well, I don't think, I mean, score is obviously the one that everyone was tweeting last week during the game. You know, but I asked a lot of the defensive players this week, is it fair to ask more? Guys that we all know are very candid, and they said, well, yeah, we're paid too, right? I mean, we know the offense is young, and we know that there's a rookie quarterback, and we know that when we get a ball, hey, we got to scoop and score. I don't know how realistic that is, but they're willing to take on more.
Scooping and scoring can be tough because sometimes that's chance. I mean, sometimes the ball bounces out where you can scoop it. Other times you're trying to fight for a guy. The odd thing about this defense so far is that you would think with all this pressure up front, there would have been more interceptions. Usually pressure is
creative.
Interceptions on the back end. And so far this year it hadn't been. I think a lot of it is because they've gotten such good pressure. They forced a lot of balls out. Some of those fluttering balls that you expect turn into picks haven't yet. But if you get interceptions, those are easier to turn into touchdowns if you get them outside.
Speaking of pressure, there might be pressure building on the staff around the building with a double-digit loss season, and who knows how far that could go. Is there pressure in the coaching staff this offseason?
I think there's pressure from some of the fans. I don't think there's pressure internally in terms of Gus, in terms of Dave, because Shad, I think, understood that this was a long build. I don't think he expected one win this year through 11 games, but I think there was a realistic expectation that this was a big rebuild, maybe bigger than most rebuilds.
Well, we are at that point of the year, and when you're 1-10, people start saying, well, the offensive coordinator's got to go, and you got to change this and that. So there is some of that building. I do think Gus said earlier in the week, you know, he talked about he challenged his staff, and he got a little chippy with that on Monday. So I imagine he's challenging his staff, and we are at that point now at the end of the year two where you might see a little change. I don't know of any, I'm not going to name any specific spot, but you do start to see at the end of year two some guys come, some guys go. It's a natural part of the evolution as you start to figure all of that out. Tell you what, if the winning doesn't start soon, the pressure will only get greater.
And the last five games can have an influence on the things we're talking about as well. It's not over yet.
Well, right. A guy who knows all about the hot seat is Tom Coughlin in New York. They started 3-2, but they've dropped 6 in a row since then. They're 3-8 coming into Everbank Field. Is he in trouble in New York?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that there's a realistic understanding that if they don't turn that thing around, that they could make a move. Because mm-hmm. They, you know, have missed the playoffs the last couple of years. And he's towards the end of his run here. He's almost 70 years old. And knowing him as well as I do, you know, I mean, I don't think he wants to give it up. In that,
I never want to give it up.
Right. Never wants to give it up. And the Mara family loves him. But at some point, I mean, even when you win 2 Super Bowls, your time starts to run out.
Yeah, I don't know enough about the details of inside that building to know how hot that seat is. I do know he's always been able to recover from that up there. And the 2 Super Bowls he won, each one, you heard strong early in those seasons that if it didn't happen, it was going to be this. So, again, I don't know, but I do know it'll be good to see him back in Everbank, probably for the last time as a head coach, certainly.
Well, and it's fun to watch him when he's a bit angry, when he really, remember, I mean, we saw that at times where he's out to prove it. Okay. I used to see it every Thursday night when I did a show. Yeah. But he would get to that point where, you know, he'd come out with something to prove. And when he had something to prove, he was a really difficult guy to beat.
There you have it. Jaguars Giants coming up tomorrow at Everbank Field. We'll talk to you next week before the Jaguars welcome the Houston Texans.